Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. Nehemiah 1, verses 5 through 11. This is a prayer by Nehemiah. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Here we have the prayer of Nehemiah concerning both the physical condition of the wall around Jerusalem and the spiritual condition of the Jewish people. Now, what are some background notes that will help us understand this prayer in this portion of Nehemiah? Again, the date is about 445 BC. About 100 years have gone by since the Jewish people were permitted to return from their 70-year captivity in Babylon to Jerusalem. The temple had been rebuilt, but the wall around Jerusalem was still in ruins. All attempts at rebuilding the wall had ended in failure. Nehemiah is a Hebrew cupbearer to the Persian king Artaxerxes I. He's located in Susa, the Persian capital. It's a good 1,000 miles of travel away from Jerusalem. But when Nehemiah hears about the sad condition of the people in Jerusalem, the distress, the disgrace before the surrounding pagans, and the broken down condition of the walls, he's greatly concerned. He not only weeps and mourns and fasts and prays, but he's willing to do something. He's willing to act. And in this great prayer of concern and confession, Nehemiah makes a specific request. Look at it once again there in verse 11. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He's praying that he would be able to talk to this man, namely Artaxerxes I, the Persian ruler. He's praying that he'd be able to talk to him about the situation, that he would be granted permission to return to Jerusalem, to get involved in leading in the rebuilding project, the rebuilding of the walls. Now you might say, well, why doesn't Nehemiah just go and ask him? Why didn't he just go and tell him? What is all this praying about? Well, there's two reasons why he just doesn't bop right in there to the palace and make his requests. First is, you just didn't burst into the king's presence, you know, a Persian king. Even in a prestigious position like that of Nehemiah's, you didn't dare, you know, risk your life by going in and making your request before the king unless he asked you what is your request. Remember Esther before Xerxes or Ahasuerus, the Persian king. Even as the king's wife, she didn't go in before the king until he held out the golden scepter. So this is one reason then why Nehemiah is not just going at any old time to ask the king about his request. The second thing, of course, is Nehemiah, as a believer, prays about everything, as we should. Nehemiah would have prayed even if it was a little local official. He prays about everything. Well, now that brings us to our doctrinal point, our big doctrinal point for this portion of Nehemiah is about prayer. And let's put it this way. Biblical praying has definite characteristics. And we see this in Nehemiah's prayer. What is prayer anyway? Well, a simple definition of prayer is just talking with God. When we read scripture, God is speaking with us. When we pray, we're speaking to God. It's communication with the Lord. Simple definition of prayer, just talking with God. We can talk with God about anything, about everything. He's our friend. However, we must always remember that he's not just our friend, he's God Almighty. He's not just a friend or a buddy, you know, down on our level or something like this. This is God, God Almighty. We need to remember that in prayer. Therefore, our prayers are going to have some definite characteristics if they're going to follow the biblical model. This doesn't mean that our prayers have to be long and formal. The Bible has many short and informal prayers. In fact, we're going to see some in the book of Nehemiah. But they all have certain definite characteristics, even the short ones. Well, what are the characteristics of biblical praying? First, biblical praying is characterized by worship. Biblical praying is characterized by worship of God. And you can see that in verse 5. Nehemiah says, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant, and so forth. It's characterized by worship of the Lord. What is worship anyway? Worship is simply acknowledging who God is and what God does, addressed to God Himself. That's what worship is. Simply, it's acknowledging who God is and what God does to God Himself. And that's exactly what Nehemiah is doing here. He's acknowledging who God is and what God does. And he's addressing that to God Himself. A second characteristic of biblical praying, which we see here, is biblical praying is characterized by confession of sin. You see that in verses 6 and 7. Nehemiah prays that for the children of Israel, your servants, and he confesses the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Notice how Nehemiah, in this great prayer of confession, links himself with the sins of the people. Even though Nehemiah wasn't personally responsible for the problem, after all, he had never been back in Jerusalem. He was not part of the sins of the father and so forth. Yet he links himself with the problem, with the situation. He's part of the nation. And as part of the nation, he confesses that we have sinned. He doesn't throw the blame on others. Great characteristic here. So that's the second characteristic of biblical praying, that it's characterized by confession of sin. A third characteristic of biblical praying. Biblical praying takes God at His word. That's a characteristic of biblical praying. It takes God at His word. And you see that in verses 8 through 10. What Nehemiah is doing here in these verses is basically quoting Scripture. You can check out this in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 30. Nehemiah is essentially quoting Scripture. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. In these verses, Nehemiah is basically taking God at His word. He's quoting Scripture. Look at verse 10. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Nehemiah here is praying on the promises. He says, here we are, Lord. You said, if you brought us back, that you would bring us not to be a laughing stock amongst the peoples, not to be a reproach. And you would bring us in return. Nehemiah is taking God at His word. He's praying on the promises. And a fourth characteristic of biblical praying that we see here is that he's making requests in line with the word of God. There you see it in verse 11. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Nehemiah is not praying for a promotion. He's not praying for more vacation. He's not praying for good weather. He's not that it's wrong to pray for those things, but Nehemiah is definitely making requests in line with the word of God. He didn't know exactly what God's will for him was, but he did know God's will for the nation Israel was for them to be a strong people and have that city of God's temple, a strong city, a city that could be defended. He's praying in line with the word of God. So that brings us then to the practical application, which I think is quite obvious. Let's pray more Nehemiah-type prayers. We should all pray more Nehemiah-type prayers. You know, so often our prayers are characterized by selfish requests, right? Lord, give me this, give me that. May we have a great weekend. May we win the game. Not that God doesn't answer these kinds of prayers, but we don't know what God's will is in some of these things. Let's try to make more of our prayers Nehemiah-type prayers, prayers that are characterized by worship, by confession of sin, by taking God at His word, by making requests in line with the word of God. Are our prayers characterized by worship? Do we start our prayers by worship, or do we just jump in with requests? Lord, I acknowledge who you are. You are holy. You are eternal. You are all-powerful. You are the one who has loved us and redeemed us. That's acknowledging God for who he is and what he has done. And our prayers should be characterized not only by worship, but by confession of sin. Lord, I have sinned. I've wasted time. I've had wrong thoughts. I've been proud. I've been selfish. I haven't given credit where credit is due. I've been part of the problem of the broken down walls in my own life, in my family's life, in the life of our church. So often we blame other things, other people, when we're really part of the problem. We blame our family. We blame circumstances. We blame our environment. We blame our culture. We even blame our genetic makeup. Why don't we pray more like Nehemiah and recognize that we are linked with the situation, with the problem? We need to pray, Lord, we have sinned. And our prayer should also be characterized more by taking God at his word, praying on the promises. Think of Matthew 6:33, for example. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. These things, of course, are basic needs. Lord, we know you'll take care of our family because we can claim this promise that you'll take care of our basic needs. Think of the promise in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Finally, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can pray on that promise. Lord, I'm not going to get upset because of the small results I see in this ministry that I'm involved in, because I know you have promised our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And our prayers should be making requests in line with God's word, just as Nehemiah's was. And this flows right out of taking God at his word. But it puts some limits, controls, you might say, on our praying. See, we can pray with confidence about our basic needs or about Christian service because of the promises God gives. It's in line with his word. But we can't demand of God that he give us good health or a new job or a victory in sports or something like that. God hasn't guaranteed these things. It's not wrong to pray about these things if it's God's will. Then it would be in line with God's word if it's God's will. But I think so often we're disappointed in our prayer life because we think God's not answering our prayers, and yet it's not because God doesn't hear or because we lack faith. It's very possible that we're not praying in line with God's word. So let's pray more Nehemiah-type prayers. And we've already talked about the spiritual wall building, and God wants to see strong spiritual walls in our lives and in the lives of our family. Let's pray in line with God's word there, and he's sure to answer when we show concern about this. Let's begin to pray more Nehemiah-type prayers.